8:20, 2012 at 6:35, and we are having a Parks and Forestry Committee meeting. This committee meeting is a result of the Parks and Forestry budget-related meeting we had about 2 weeks ago. And this is just a follow-up on some details and look a little bit deeper into some of the things that we talked about at our last meeting. Those present are myself, Katie Capellini, other committee members present, Andy Hussman, Mark Lupke, other council members present, Mike Brown, Mary Westfall, staff members present, Kevin Aller, Bill Sanford, Jim Moan, and we are expecting Doug Hanum, our final committee member. I sent everybody an email maybe a couple weeks ago with some questions for Kevin on things that I thought that we should dig a little deeper into and follow up on. And Kevin and Mary and I have since talked about some of these, and you've hopefully seen his responses. I thought we'd just go through those and see if everybody was okay with where we are on all of them and as they're related to our budget. The first thing that seems like we've been talking about forever is our compost operation. We identified a $250,000 cost to run our compost operation, and Kevin's been doing a lot of work and contacting different people and possibly outsourcing the compost and what expenses make sense to keep and what expenses make more sense to farm out. And he was going to run through some of those details.
Can you clarify? It costs $250,000. Is that our loss? What is that number?
Yeah, that would be a net operating cost. Yeah.
But a negative net operating cost.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
And those are, you know, those are good. They're round numbers. It's a good round number, but each year is different. Sometimes our sales are up, the compost material is up because of the amount of material. Sometimes they're low.
It's been down over the last 2 years.
It's been down for the last 2 years, yes. Yes, and that's a change. I shouldn't say a change in operation, but we had quite a stockpile of material up to a couple of years ago. And the goal now is to basically turn that material over every 2 years. It gives it enough time to mature and be a good product to sell. And we're not building that stockpile up. We don't want to, you know, like any other business, you don't want to have material sitting on your lot that's not doing any good. So they're, you know, trying to turn that over. On
inventory is too high.
Yeah, inventory is too
high. Yeah, you don't want to do that.
Yeah. So, you know, the things that we've been looking at, I've initially was working primarily through a single vendor, trying to come up with options. We were making some progress, and then spring and summer hit. Of course, that's, if you're a composting operation, that's your crunch time. And so contact and communications were not the best. I've since been able to make contact with two other vendors, both in Northwest Ohio, both in Toledo area, and have made good progress with each of them on being able to get some information as to what it would cost and thing material that they would and would not accept and things of that nature. I think for the most part, I believe that we'll be in good shape as far as what we collect with our programs, that those vendors would accept that type of material. So I don't think we're going to have a material stockpile problem, if you will, or anything like that. each of them operates a little differently as to what charges they have in place to accept the material and what it costs if it's an annual contract basis or something of that nature. The way I approached it with them is that we would continue to operate our collection program. that we would collect the material and then transport the material to their facility. If we remove that option, none of the vendors that I've talked to really have the collection potential. They don't provide that service. So if we remove that, now we're forcing our citizens to go somewhere. And they don't have to do that today. Some do, they'll take it up to the Summer Road facility and drop it off, and that's okay. We can continue to do that, or we can come up with an alternative location for them to be able to do that if they miss the normal pickup or something like that. So we would continue the service to the residents as far as being able to remove the material. Could, and at this point, in order to provide the same level of service, I think would remain the way it is today. So that's a good thing, I think, for the citizens. One of the vendors has basically indicated that for this year and for the near future, they will take the material, no cost. He won't guarantee that for the future, but immediately, for the short term, he would do it. The other vendor, there would be an annual cost. We're still kind of working through that because he's looking for the amount of material and things of that nature that we generate. And so we're kind of going back and forth on numbers right now. But he has a similar arrangement with another community. So he knows exactly what we're looking for. What I proposed in the conversations to him, they're doing the exact same thing with the other community. So once we can get it answered on the amounts of each type of material, things like that. He wanted it broke down a little more than what our standard reports and our tracking accounted for, but our Parks Department people are able to get that separated a little more and give him some pretty good numbers so that he knows what to expect. So those talks are ongoing. We talked to, well, if somebody will take it for free, then let's do it now. Let's do the lease, so to speak, right now. The disadvantage to doing that right now is we still have the equipment costs today. We still have the personnel cost. So if we did that today, the operation cost. We still own the shredder. We still own the separator. We still own all of that material.
Okay.
Equipment. So you have that depreciation, if you will, on the equipment. We have the personnel cost. If we were to start the operation immediately with the other vendor, even the vendor that takes it at no cost, we still have the trucking cost and all of that involved. And in vehicles that get 5-6 miles to the gallon tops, $3.90 a gallon, that's going to add up pretty quick. So I don't know that there's an advantage to do that immediately this fall. And the equipment itself, other than operating costs and things of that, that's not a huge cost. So I think we're better off, rather than rushing into something, I think we're better off continuing the operation through the rest of this year. But then be prepared, and what I indicated to Katie during the meeting was, it's my goal by the end of this fall season, next budget period, to really have a recommendation on where we go with that program. We're still going to have the issue. We're still going to have the equipment. If we try to sell that equipment, we're not going to get much for it. It's towards the end of its life. So we have some issues, and that's still what I'm looking at. I'm not prepared to really make a recommendation at this point what we do with it, but by the next budget period, I'll have a recommendation on
it. Kevin, we did take that $650,000 out of the budget for that chipper,
yes,
piece of equipment.
Yes. Yeah. And that's really where a big chunk of the operating, $650,000, it has roughly a 10-year life. you will get, you can get more life, but your maintenance costs just go up in the, you know, in the last few years, it's like any other, it's like a car. You can get more than, you know, 10, 15 years out of them, but it's going to cost you more money when you do so.
Could you run down the rest of the potential savings? For example, I understand that we fundamentally have two full-time people up at our site. Is that true?
That's correct.
I'm mindful of Mr. Brown's comments a week or so ago about, you know, not wanting to eliminate jobs, but are there jobs that we could anticipate being emptied through attrition over the period of time that you're talking about that could allow us to reassign those people? I mean, could we literally get to a point where we're closing down that site?
I think there's a potential for that, yes. I think there's a potential. I would say that we use a person and a half to two persons at that site. And it would be my goal to, and so far what I've heard from council, therefore I hope that stays, but I don't want to do anything that puts anybody on the street.
Neither do we, neither do I.
Yeah, and that's what I'm working towards. But through attrition, and through some things that we see in all of the departments, not just Parks and Forestry Department, because frankly, I don't see a lot of retirements in our Parks and Forestry Department, but we will have them in other departments. And so it'll take some talks. We're going to have to talk with, like, the bargaining unit and things like that, but the ability to move some people around.
Okay. And then just to clarify, in addition to the two people, that doesn't count the people who are driving the trucks, right?
That's
a separate
correct.
Group of people. We would keep those in place because we're trucking out to this other site.
Right. We would still have.
Got it.
On an average day, our normal pickup, we assume a half a day for the pickup operation. And that would probably, it would still, you know, that's still going to be there. We'd have a little bit additional time in trucking. Again, on a normal day, that truck can collect all of the material, make one trip to the compost site, and they're done. Mm-hmm. So it's not like we're having to make multiple trips.
Are these sites relatively convenient to Sylvania, the ones you're talking about? I mean, we don't have to haul stuff out to Millbury or something.
Not quite, not that far. One site is on Stickney Avenue.
Okay.
The other site is out between Swamp and White House. So out near the airport.
Okay, I mean, not, so, I guess, horrible.
Not horrible. Not as convenient as Summit, but not horrible.
No. And the third vendor that you had originally talked to unsuccessfully, any reason to think that they're in or out of the mix at this point?
I think they're still in. I wouldn't want to wholesale exclude them. But it's been very difficult to get information. So, that company is located on Bancroft Street. So, they have some arrangements with townships and cities where cities will purchase, just to grab a number, will purchase 500 tickets or cards, and then the citizens can buy those cards for $30, $40 and be able to take any material that they want to the site. That's a drop, pretty big drop in service.
Right, it's different.
I think it's too big of a drop in one shot. So I'm still trying to maintain the pickup side of the service and then determine if we can do something else with the processing side of the service.
So we will look for a recommendation in a year.
Well, wait, no. I thought we were talking about putting this in place for
2013.
Right. Fire budget time. I will have a recommendation on the budget, and the time frame will, that recommendation will include the time frame on switching the operation over. Because, if we take a look, I take a look at attrition levels, I take a look at trucking costs, I take a look at all of that. You know, if we were to do something next spring and there's no cost benefit to doing that, you know, let's wait.
So as a point of clarification, your recommendation for the budget will outline when the right time would be, whether it's this year, next year, mid-year, next year, whatever that might be.
Correct.
I will say, I really appreciate this analysis. I mean, it's very thoughtful, it's very business-focused, it has all the pieces to it. I'm pretty confident that whatever you come back to us with will be well thought through. So I personally appreciate you going through the effort. And I'd like to see us get to a point where we're not losing money on being in the composting business and potentially can save some dollars. The $650K right off the top for the chipper is pretty appealing. So I would encourage you to keep a close eye on this whole thing.
Yep. So hopefully we won't get to the point where we have to buy that $650.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll be the,
yeah,
the tipping point when the grinder breaks.
Yeah, there we are. If the analysis comes out that we're still better off than that, because once we get the cost from these vendors, depending on what that cost is, it may still be cost beneficial to stay in the business. That $650,000 expense out there makes me doubt that, but
right.
Until I get the numbers, yeah. I don't know.
I don't know how long the city's been in the composting business, but I'm guessing it predates the time that private vendors had been getting into the business, right? I mean, it's been 20, 25 years.
For the most part.
Yeah. So, you know, the whole marketplace has changed pretty radically since we got into the business.
Good job.
Would any of these vendors be interested in an old chipper?
As a trade? Good idea. I like
well,
it.
Well, I'm just...
I can throw that into the package.
Yeah. We wouldn't need it, right? At that point. Mm-hmm. And there's some use left in it. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know, let me suggest one other thing that you might, and I only, your notion of bartering this out is kind of intriguing, but there are a small number of citizens in Sylvania, I think, who don't take advantage of our pickup service because they generate more yard waste than is practical to put in the ground bags, right? I know I go over to the Bancroft Street facility from time to time. I think some of my neighbors do. So if there's a little add-on that you might request from each of these folks who bid on this, that they do provide an unlimited drop-off card that either citizens could buy at a discount or that the city could just provide them as an added service. It doesn't sound like the cost for these vendors is on the collection side, right? They process the stuff and turn around and sell it.
Yeah.
So a volume is not an issue. It might be one additional benefit that we could provide our citizens that a small number of folks might appreciate.
Right now you're paying to do that?
I pay $100. Since the county discontinued the service,
right. I
do pay that. And happily, because, you know, Mrs. Lukey gardens and generates a lot of yard waste over the course of a summer.
Good.
Well, about that.
Did anyone else want to comment on compost?
No, good job.
Thank you, Kevin, for all that extensive research. Our next one, I think, is a little easier. I learned about what a skid-mounted sprayer is versus what we have. What we have right now is that big water, have you guys seen it? The big water tank that gets pulled up after the truck versus the skid-mounted sprayer actually goes onto a truck. And the advantage of this, Kevin, you can correct me if I'm wrong. The advantage of the skid-mounted sprayer is that it can pump water up to high places.
This is for watering plants?
This is for watering plants.
Okay, sorry.
So in our discussions, because right now there's an employee that gets on a ladder to water the high places, and it's not very safe. So, I mean, we thought that a good recommendation would be just to not have plants in high places.
Are you serious?
I'm totally serious. I mean, it's, right?
We have a few places in baskets, and some of the sites can be handled. I looked at it since our conversation, Katie, because you asked me to take a look. Some of our sites can be handled in a safer manner than we're doing right now. It'll take some coordination with our streets department, but we can change the operation. And but there are some sites that are just not conducive to that. And I'm not comfortable with the way that we're handling those sites right now. We're putting an employee in a bad position.
Could you give an example?
The Main Street Bridge. If you take a look, if you've ever gone through there, the way that we maintain those baskets is the employee climbs a ladder and then stands on the piers. They stand on an 18-inch pier, which is taken up, which the middle 6 inches is taken up by the pole. That is not a good operation. I asked for it actually to be eliminated at the beginning of this summer. But Parks convinced me what else can we do? So we maintain it.
That's what we're taking
a look at.
When those hanging baskets started, it was just the hanging baskets. But then Pat got the baskets on the rails that looked fabulous. And so, I would hate to have somebody fall off a ladder into the river or into traffic for a couple of hanging baskets.
No, that's what we're taking a look at. I'm still seeing that the sign truck can be utilized for that site. We can. And part of this is it's a change in getting some of our departments to kind of understand. And don't get me wrong, they don't fight anything I've asked them for. But it's the mentality is that that's a streets truck, that that's a parks vehicle, that that's a water and sewer. And, it just happens that way over time. In reality is it's a city side truck. It's a city pickup. And so just trying to get, hey, just call them and ask them. Mm-hmm. Are they going to use it Friday? If not, that's when you plan your high operations. So I pushed that issue a little bit this morning, actually, in the division meeting, and to try to see if we can improve the operation for our high operations. There are still a couple sites that I personally don't think the sign truck will be conducive for. So we may have to.
It just doesn't seem like it should be at the top of your priority. You've got so many huge things going on to deal with hanging baskets.
Kevin, does that, the watering truck that she goes around and waters with in the morning and stuff, is that just gravity flow? Or does that have a pump on it?
It has a very small pump, but it's not geared up. The way that we draw water off of that tank isn't conducive to the type of pump that we have. So it will do it, but it doesn't do it very well.
Because I was thinking you get a wand with an extension on it and the water from the ground. But
And that's how we do the baskets and that kind of stuff. The pump's big enough for that, but on those high baskets, you're adding another 6 to 8 feet of head, and our pump is just too small.
Less is more.
Yeah.
Is there an efficiency issue to all of this? I mean, do we have a configuration of plants that not only is potentially dangerous to our employees, but that it just takes a long time to... I mean, it almost sounds like we're manually doing some of this stuff. Are there quicker ways to do it? Are there more efficient ways to do it than that?
Bad rains.
Why get that?
Yeah. We've put irrigation systems in the locations that we think it's feasible.
Right.
Long term, if any modifications are made to downtown Main Street and things of that nature, the poles and that kind of stuff can have irrigation systems put right into them. So that can be done. In the short term, I don't know that there's really anything we can do with the sites that we're currently watering. I don't really think that there's much we can do.
Mm-hmm.
Long term, those kinds of things have to be at the back of our minds.
Yeah, I'm not sure that we've ever made efficiency a consideration in the forestry department. I mean, it's sort of been God's work,
Yeah.
But I would hope that in the future we do look at that opportunity.
Yeah. We're actually taking a look at, planters that are on Haroon. Possibly the ones that are on Main Street, but taking a look at, is there a way that we can run some piping along the railing and things of that nature and be able to irrigate them on an automatic basis?
Mm-hmm.
we don't want to do anything, we don't want to have ugly piping showing or anything like that, so, but we're past looking at that to see if it's possible.
I'm sure we're not the first ones that, I mean, there's got to be catalogs and all sorts of fun books to look through that give us ideas on how to do that and have it look nice.
But I do think you're also, what I hear you saying, Kevin, is that you're evaluating this and going, trying to find the proper solutions to make the proper recommendations.
Yeah, we don't want to change, what we're doing if we haven't looked at all of the options to do it differently and do it better. There are some sites that we shouldn't be doing it the way we're doing it, and it's going to need to stop, and we need to figure out a better way.
Okay. You talked about some safety issues. Mm-hmm. Okay. Got to change those today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Those plants don't get watered and they die. That's life.
Yeah,
okay. And we just told the world we made a determination it's not safe. Mm-hmm. We got to stop doing it today. Okay. So go back to the office tomorrow morning. I mean, this is the mayor's call. But my recommendation as a councilman would be that you stop watering those plants immediately.
Presumably as an attorney as well.
Well, I have. I bring that to
that
the table.
Skill set to the table.
I bring that to the table. My job as a councilman, though, is I think that's an unreasonable risk for the city to continue to incur.
I may send into that part of the conversation.
Once you know it's a danger, you got to get rid of it.
Well, it just makes sense. If it's dangerous and they're too high, then don't do it.
It's times, you know, it's just times have changed. You know, it's there was a day that was normal.
Mm-hmm.
We'll make the change.
That's awesome. Thank you. But once again, Kevin, thanks for all of your hard work and research. Another thing we talked about were temporary workers, and we were actually down on temporary workers. Last year we had 6. This year there were 4, and actually one of them is not a part. It goes to the Conservation Corps expense. So really, Parks and Forestry only had 3,
right,
down from 6. So that's a good thing. The vacant lots was a lot more complicated than I thought. History of how we got them. I don't know that we required, you can jump in anytime, that we required the developers to give a piece of open space when they did a development. And so now we have all of these little pieces of open space in neighborhoods. And the developers weren't necessarily happy to give those little pieces of open space. So now for us to turn around and sell them doesn't look good. So there's a lot of legal investigation to what we can do with each of those pieces of land.
What do you mean a lot of legal investigation?
Like how, there was a situation where a developer wasn't happy and there were some issues that came up, and because if we asked them to donate us the land to us for open green space in each development, and then we turn around and sell it.
And we'll just offer them back to the developer.
That's what we talked about.
Are they buildable?
Some of them, a lot. I've been through.
We've been down this road before.
We've been down here before, and I've looked at a bunch of them, and they're buildable, but nobody's going to build them. And you know, I mean, as a practical matter,
some are.
Yeah, I mean, most people are not going to build new homes in these neighborhoods that were developed so many years ago. So, you know, I think what Katie's point is we would like to figure out a way to minimize our cost going forward. And I wouldn't be opposed to giving them back to the developer or giving them back to the homeowner.
But who owes the title to them, city?
city. If the developers are still alive.
Yeah, I mean, the development companies come and go, right?
Sure. For the most part, they're not going to be there.
Right.
So once we cross that.
Well, you know, have you.
And we can ask the people that live on either side if they would like to buy.
Yeah, see, that's, that.
At a minimal.
Exactly, that's the kind of solution. I know that the, is that, I don't know if that is or isn't what the land bank does. I don't think it is. But there has been a proposal made in the last Toledo mayor race that suggested that there were mechanisms to put, allow the neighbors to bid before the property goes up to sale in exchange for a nominal amount and the commitment to maintain the property, right? It's probably the quickest way. Because if the goal is to just get them off the city's books and not have the liability and not have the cost.
And not cut the grass.
Yeah.
There may be deed issues associated with the transfer to them, though. My guess is a lot of them were deeded for public purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm thinking that the first thing you do is you offer them to the developer who wants nothing to do with them. But, you know, Jim could, you know, we could look at all those and figure out those strategies.
We've talked about it. We've talked about during, you know, during staffing, things of that nature. And it's, but it takes a lot. You've got to pull each development as it occurred and pull that file out and find out how that parcel was dedicated.
Well, can't you on Aries pull up those deeds or not?
It won't necessarily have the conditions of the conditions of the plat. It may be in the project file, the conditions of approval of the plat may have been where that was specified. Mm-hmm. So it's not a lot of them probably.
Well, actually,
the only limit
is what's in the deed and what's, you know, to the extent.
The plat approval.
Huh?
The plat approval would also have stipulations to it.
I guess that's right.
Could.
Who's going to see it?
Is this something short of hiring an attorney at a full rate to do? And I'm not a big fan of using interns to do things, believe me. I just don't think you lose more time and money in supervising. But is there anybody within the legal profession, law school profession, who could.
A qualified paralegal could do this.
Could do this.
Pretty easily.
Yeah. Just collecting the data, right? Yeah. Well, is that what it is?
So that's all good. Suggestion?
Huh?
Hire a paralegal and say, here's your list of properties.
Well, I did it. I think probably I'd do an RFP and see what we get. But if it can be done by a qualified paralegal, even if that individual.
We can take a look. If the staffing levels change in a little bit, then that can be. It's too time consuming. I started to look into it.
Yeah, no.
It's too time consuming.
I think we have to hire.
It's too time consuming for me to handle and still keep the other thing moving.
Mm-hmm.
Do
you even need somebody with a legal background? Can it be some of these retired guys that
actually
used to work for the auditor?
A lot of real estate people. How many properties are we talking about?
I'll look into it.
Is it 20 or 40 or?
Oh, no, it's probably like 8 to 10.
Eight, yeah.
Oh.
If that.
Really?
100% small.
Yeah, because we own a lot of properties, but on the ones on the open pieces that we would be able to divest ourselves of, probably not that many. Because there are a couple of them that have parks on them, and that brings a whole different.
The neighborhood's developed.
Yeah, so. Which is what you wanted, right? I mean, they have actually, that's the use
right.
of it. But and so we maintain all of those. We mow the lawns on the ones that are developed and undeveloped.
Yeah.
I wonder if on the lots that are associated with a neighborhood that has a neighborhood association, if we could ask the neighborhood association to take over their park or their.
I think that's a noble thought. I think my experience with the Sylvan Woods neighbors around the pool over there is that there's precious little time and interest in stepping in and taking over what they perceive to be the role of the city. We've told them it's the role of the city, you know. People are busy.
It has been a topic of conversation, and we'll continue to move forward with it.
I thought it was more than that. I don't know why.
I did too. But, you know, maybe we're not, are we only talking about the residential lots? Because I thought the city held a lot of land.
This is just the residential ones.
Yeah, it's just
right-of-ways and stuff that you're not going to be able to.
Right.
You know, that little property over on the corner of Judy Young Drive and Monroe Street, right, that we have a little sec, I mean, there's all of those little...
It's all on Cottage Lane, there's a...
So...
I'm talking the parks.
Caddington.
Areas, yeah.
Timothy Lane, Central Park.
Yeah, things like that.
Next to Sylvan Pool.
Yeah.
And then there's even a more recent one, the corner of Main and Erie, where the house burned down.
Right.
Yeah.
So those are all undeveloped parks, allegedly deeded to be a park, but they're not a park. So Katie, can we maybe ask Kevin to come up with a plan to inventory those and think about how, maybe working with Mr. Moan, how we might best...
You know, it'd be interesting.
It's already, that is...
You're working it?
There's a list, you know, property over on Addington.
Yeah, right.
That can be easily separated and...
You could probably figure out, there's only 8 to 10, you could probably figure out with more than half of them what we want to...
They may want to do. Just take somebody to dig into.
Yeah. So is that something we could hear back from, you know, in 6 weeks or so?
We can ask Jim if he thinks...
We're talking like he's not in the room, is he not here?
He's not here.
And he was back there.
He's not jumping in. So is that, do you think that's a fair request?
Conversation to have with Jim and with the mayor and make sure, you know...
Let's get back to us.
Okay.
And give us a report in 6 weeks if you don't have a proposal.
Well, I think it's important to say, as we have learned on a number of these matters, that if we move forward on something like this, we want to make sure we do a hearing and have the neighbors invited and hear what the community feels about this, right? Because we don't want to solve a problem that people might not think they have. So let's go through the full process if we decide to go ahead with it.
Property by property.
Take it through a public process.
Because in the end, it'll save us.
Right.
So, it's all about efficiency.
I mean, it's fascinating to think about that.
If you have the full list, I think, well, I shouldn't say that, I don't know what Scott gave you.
I don't know how updated that list is, Sandy.
Were we supposed to get, did we get a list?
Recently, I don't know.
There's like a list that's floating around, that's been floating around, and it was listed as parks. I think Art had a list, and it was, but then it included parks that are ours, parks that are other park districts, and then little pieces of land, but... So anyway, it's all about efficiencies and...
Can I make one suggestion?
Yes, Mike.
If we do determine that we're going to offer these to the property owners and we can do all that, what might spoil the whole thing is that they buy it for a small amount of money and then all of a sudden they get their tax bill. And because their frontage has increased by a dramatic amount, you know, we need to take a look at that also.
Yeah, well, that would be for, you know, each individual buyer to evaluate if it's worth it to them.
I mean, if we sell it to them for a dollar, that's a lot of tax bills before you could get some burden created, you know?
Well, let's say it adds another 100 feet or 200 feet to the front. I don't know.
Yeah.
We just go on the line.
If we did assessments for street repairs, that'd be a big issue.
I get better...
Well, if you own land, yeah, I mean, that's part of the deal.
The tax...
I don't think we're going to write off their taxes.
Well, and it's the county taxes that are killing them, so, and the specials.
And we're just going to be happy that we're cutting the grass all over town.
Right, if we, I mean, we can give them the land, but then it's their responsibility and they would have to know that that would be part of the deal. I don't know.
So the last...
Maybe they wouldn't be interested.
Does anyone else have anything to add?
There are seven, what I would consider park, neighborhood park properties.
The last thing for a brief discussion is Sage Yard taking over financial responsibility for Plummer Pool and Vernon Park, which according to Jim and Kevin, we have a long history of shifting responsibilities and being more efficient with our parkland, but there's not a lot that we really need to do or can do until the levy So.
Well.
At this point, it's not.
Why?
Because there's not, I mean, we could draw up an agreement, and then if the levy doesn't pass, then.
Oh, I see.
I mean, we're both in agreement. I mean, Sage Yard's in agreement, and we're in agreement, and so it's just, why create a bunch of extra.
Okay.
Paperwork and agreements if we don't really know.
Sage Yard isn't going to do it unless the levy passes.
Right, because they won't be able to afford.
Could you help me kind of parse this out? Because I know you and I have had informal conversations about it, but we always talk about Plummer Pool and Burnham Park like it's a package. Is there, what is the thinking about taking a city park? I get the pool, okay, that makes a lot of sense to me. But the Burnham Park piece, I guess I've always equated as a municipal park. So what would be the value to the city to offload that?
Well, talking to the mayor, the city has a history of, like, we owned Paysetter at one point, and then Sage Yard took it over, and we owned Tam O'Shanter at one point, and then.
Okay.
And everybody, the township and the city, everybody uses Burnham Park. And usually when things happen in Burnham Park, when somebody's not happy, the first place they call is Sage Yard. The first people that get the phone calls are the people at Sage Yard. Because people don't understand. It's, I mean, our park districts, there's three. And our, I mean, the way it's all set up, it's so confusing to people. Nobody knows who's running what park and who's responsible for what.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Sage Yard, they maintain playground equipment and they cut grass. And they're already getting the phone calls.
I'm not sure we have had clarification on whether I'm confused by some of that language here right now, whether we've had conversation that's clear on offloading versus care of, care.
Okay, well, that's
care of property.
No, we're not giving
I'm not sure what you're,
away.
Okay. That's, I just want to make sure we're saying the same.
Yeah.
No, we're not giving away, because that's an asset.
We wouldn't deed the asset to them, is that what you're saying?
No.
No. It would just be care of.
And Sage Yard takes care of all of the school playgrounds. They cut all the grass for all the schools, and they maintain all the ball diamonds, and they do all of that stuff. That's what they do.
Okay. In my mind, there's a difference, right? Plummer and Tamo and the ball diamonds are recreational fields. I in no way do I think that Burnham Park is anything more than a neighborhood park. Do I need to think about it a different way?
In the summer, there are so many people there that aren't in the neighborhood. There's busloads of kids that come for the pool. And I mean, next weekend is the bike race. It's the Ohio State Cup. There'll be people from all over Northwest Ohio and Southeastern Michigan in that park.
Okay, so what I should be thinking, the way I should be thinking about this is if it's a cost to the city, we should figure out a way to offload that cost, period. Okay.
It's a community park. Our parks.
Okay. And I'm sure, in fact, okay, I'm contradicting myself, talking myself into your argument. We have a precedent at Whetstone Park. Right, which is over off of.
Right, we do.
Behind Starlight Plaza. It's run by the Olander Park System. I didn't even know that until I took my grandkids over there a couple weeks ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Shame on me for not remembering that.
Well, I think the one thing that was said that made me kind of reconsider a little bit as well, Mark, is that people go from the pool and they do treat that park like it's part of the pool while they're there, you know, for picnics and for family reunions and for all of those things. So it is a community park, but that pool changes its usage a little bit.
Okay.
And
I guess I'm getting to that idea.
And the fact that it's in the city, still means it's a community park. I mean, Sage Yard is a community organization that encompasses not just the township, but also the city. They're an accountable organization. Our own tax authority. And, you know, over the long haul, you know, I think the community is very likely to support those recreational dollars, even if we're, as a city, looking at making tough calls on financial issues. And when I look at the city of Toledo's parks, I think I would really like to have those in a separate recreational pot.
Clearly, they're trying to do that, right?
They're trying to do it.
Mm-hmm. Because
people like parks.
They do.
Okay. And councilmen always look at, you know, when they make choices, and parks sometimes get further down the priority list than community would like.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Does anyone have anything else they'd like to add to this meeting?
Well, you know, at one point, just to sort of put the issue somewhere, we had talked about broadening out this concept of park maintenance to Haroon Park, right? And I guess I'm just curious, I'm not sure, I'm not suggesting I support that or don't support it, but where, have you had any conversation about that?
I have continuing conversations with Tops, and they're very agreeable to it. But I haven't had that same sense of agreement from the administration.
Anybody other?
So,
Keep kicking Katie.
Well, I mean, you know, we just had a very helpful, for me anyway, 53 minutes about all of these other things. It would it be appropriate, maybe at the time that Kevin comes back and talks to us about the parks, or talks to us about some of the other things that are on hold, to have, I'd like to hear the administration's perspective on that.
I mean, it makes absolute sense. And we have literally three park districts in the city of Sylvania. We have Sage Arch, we have Tops, and then we have the city of Sylvania. So we have three sets of trucks driving around Sylvania doing very similar things, and it just makes sense.
On the metro parts, too.
Except they're not in Sylvania, but they've got the
Well, they are. They're helping us with the Lathier Pass.
And so there we go. We have four park districts. So as we go down the road, it makes sense to continue to find more efficient ways to service our parks.
And
when I think
that our community parks are funded by the entirety of the community, not solely by the residents of the city.
Well, and I do think that in the conversation that we had, that they are looking at those improved efficiencies. You know, the reality is we still would have to pay for those services to somebody. It's not like they're just going to come in and take care of our parks, likely. So we have to really take a careful look at that. And I do think that that was kind of one of the conversations that was had, and that there was a commitment to take a look at those. What are the options? What do they look like? How do we improve efficiencies? Is there a better way to do it? And where it falls in the list of priorities.
And as we have retirement, and I know when we, the completed River Trail, we were going to need 1.5 more people to service the River Trail. So if people retire and we need people for the River Trail, I mean, somewhere there's a...
When you start talking parks, you need to make sure that if anything were to happen, let's say with Haroon Park.
With which park?
With Haroon.
Yeah.
If you brought up Haroon, that there's not some kind of a law or restriction. If the city doesn't own that property, that you can't develop within 300 feet or 400 feet, which would blow a hole in Somo District. So, you know, we need to look at all that kind of stuff instead of saying this.
We can do a lot. We can do a lot with zoning in terms of creating park zoning.
Well, we do have a plan.
All kinds of long-term control over those sorts of developments to address those concerns.
I'm proving to be terribly ignorant about all these things. Other than Haroon, does the city and Burnham, does the city have any other parks? Mm-hmm. And the ones on that sheet.
Yeah.
We have a bunch.
We have a whole bunch. McNally. Haroon, McNally, David Richard, Centennial Park, Addington Park, Clayton Fisher, Whetstone. And then we have the little ones, Maplewood Park, Senior Museum Park, and River Center.
Let me point out that we went through this 2 years ago where Art, in one of his publications, referred to all these as parks. The question is only a few have actually been designated as parks,
right.
And the rest are really open spaces that may not...
Yeah, you sort of weren't here for the discussion earlier about some of the residential areas plotted, and we talked about this.
You missed a part when we really needed to.
No, come on. It's not what I was saying.
I was trying to download the agreement for electric power for this meeting, and I can't.
Right. You know, Katie, this was an incredibly helpful meeting, and I would encourage you to schedule a meeting with the appropriate city staff to talk a little bit about the rest of the parks, because you know, people apparently over there make an interesting argument about that. And I don't think if we're going to talk about it, we should limit it to Haroon Park and all of these other parks.
It would be good to have it.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, just for information. I think that the public discussion would be helpful.
Think about it all the time. But.
Okay. Well, so schedule a meeting.
So, anything else?
Thanks.
We're adjourning the meeting then at 7:25.